God bless you. Josh, thank you so much for leading us in worship this whole time. It's been a blessing. Our family has really enjoyed it, and we love being able to worship with you. Thank you for that. And church, I miss you so much. I'm in a building, and the building isn't the church. We call it the church building, but the church is the body of Christ. It's the people of Jesus. And I'm grateful to be a part of that body that's worldwide. Some people meet in huts. Some people meet out in the woods. Some people meet in huge cathedrals. Some people meet in a building like ours. But right now, at this time, at this day and age, on Palm Sunday, most people aren't meeting at all together until they get online. And technology, as much as it is, I know it's not the same, and so I'm grateful for it, but it's hard for me to not be together with you all. And I also know that we get to make sacrifices to help keep people safe, but this is essential. What we're doing right now is essential. It's essential for our souls. We're made holistically. We're made in the name of the Father, and we're made by the Father, and He made us holistically, mind, body, heart, soul. And so we're gonna spend some time together in soul. Hey, I'll let you know that we are looking for some videos, and they gotta be short, 15 to 30 seconds, but we would love for you to tell us how God has been showing up, how God's been showing Himself to you, how you've been seeing Him in this day and age, in this challenge over the last few weeks. And please let us know, and I want you to send those to Josh at Josh M, as in Moser, at crosswaterchurch.org. That's Josh M at crosswaterchurch.org. Please send him 15 to 30 second testimony of how you've been seeing God showing up. I'm really excited to be able to do that. Please do that, and that'll be part of our message next week. Also, maybe a 15 to 30 second dance party. Maybe you could do that. I think my family might be putting one together. No competition. I mean, maybe a little bit. See what you can do to come up with that. All right, church, so we're near the end of our Acts series. Next week on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, it's gonna be over. We're gonna end with the good news and the fact that we get to keep sharing the good news, but the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. Today is traditionally called Palm Sunday, where Jesus came in his triumphal entry, and everybody was stoked to see him, at least the people that came out, that laid down palms, and Hosanna! Hosanna to the name of the King. And I love that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it was our majesty cry, but it was also a military cry. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in today's message, but we're actually finishing the book of Acts these next 2 weeks. And so please join me today, will you, in Acts 27. We're going to start at Acts 27, 9, but I want to talk a little bit about last week's message from Pastor John. It was outstanding. Please tell me you saw it. Please tell me you heard it. If you didn't, you can go back and catch it. I have a few things that I want to talk to you about with that, because one of the main themes that we've seen all the way through the book of Acts is that God's people are going to look like him. Now, God can't be stopped. Sometimes we wonder where God is. Those are the other themes, right? Where is God? And he can't be stopped. But what about us? Well, we get to look like him. And Pastor John talked a lot about that. A few notes for me from that was that you and I, for such a time as this, get to live out our true freedom. And what does that freedom look like? Well, it looks like through restraint and through humility and grace, we can show that Jesus is alive and well, more than just fighting for our rights. And Pastor John, even he quoted the Beastie Boys. What? All right. But he also said that no matter what, we are carriers of God's hope as Jesus followers. We're carriers of hope. There's a lot to that. And finally, the thing that really stood out to me was too often we fight for our rights to cling to what we don't need to cling to, when Jesus laid down his life for us. So, for us, by God's grace, we can live and be like Jesus. So with that, I wanna bring you to this idea of this overall theme of 2020 for us. Before we ever knew any of this was gonna go on, we understood that sometimes things are bad, sometimes things are good, but even if the worst happens or even if the best happens, Jesus is. Jesus is life. Jesus is King. Jesus is on his throne. He's always good. And we want you to remember that. We also want you to know that God is with us even if things get worse. And sometimes they do. But as God's people, God's in us for others when things get worse. We get to show the love of Jesus Christ to others when things are tough. What a great opportunity. And I think today, when we're celebrating on Sunday and that Jesus is this King and this Lord and this wonderful, majestic Savior, that people need to see him. And so whatever you're going through, whatever you've been struggling with, and we all have a struggle, we all have been at minimum uncomfortable, and some of us are without jobs now, and some of us are wondering how the bills are gonna get paid. Hey, Jesus follower, you get to show, because Jesus is in you, God's Spirit is in his people and moving through his people out into this world. And so I wanna ask you, would you please consider what it looks like for you to live this out, to be about his kingdom. All right, so Paul is in jail, and we know that he had all kinds of opportunities to share the good news, even with the people that he was like supposed to be defending himself to. And really what he did is he shared the testimony of good news, and he was obedient. And what was most important to him, like we talked about last week, was to live out this kingdom message, to share the good news of Jesus and be obedient to him. But I want to tell you, and today we're going to look at this reality. Just when you think things can't get worse, they can. And what do you do when life storms hit? What is it that you draw into? Please comment on these things. Share with one another. Help one another. Pray for one another. What do you do when the storms of life hit? What do you do when it seems like it's pretty bad, but it can't get really any worse, and then it does? What do you do? How do you deal with that? What's your go-to move? Well, I want to tell you that there is a summary of all kinds of things we could be talking about, because like I said, we're going to be in Acts 27, but we're going to Acts 27, 9 through 14. But before that, I wanted to tell you that a lot had been going on. Paul had said, I'm appealing to Caesar. So he was going to go to Rome, you guys. And he was going, and God told him that he was going to testify in Rome. And so he trusted that. And so he did. He went to Rome. But he had to get there first, right? It wasn't just like teleportation. He didn't just jump on a plane. He had to get on a boat. And that was kind of some perilous travel. And this was getting into the fall, and really much later in the fall is a terrible time to travel by boat. And so he got a chance to get into that boat, and some really, really cool things could have happened for him. But really some difficult things happened first. And so they got in, and at first things were going pretty good for him. And then they were up against the winds, and the winds were slowing them down, and it wasn't working out for them, and they had to pull into this place. And so I'm going to pick this up for us after they had pulled into this place called Fair Havens, and it's in Acts 27, and it's going to be 9 through 14. I want you to read along with me if you would. Well, you can read it out loud if you like, but look along. So Acts 27, 9 through 14. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, this is the Feast of Atonement, and this would have been near the end of October, Paul advised the people who was traveling, Julius, this guy who was a centurion, he actually loved Paul, and he gave Paul a chance to even visit some people when they had to stop prior to that. And so here's what's up. He says, look, please listen to me. And so he advises them. Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So I'm warning you, don't do this. Don't go on this trip. But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot, who, you know, was an expert. That was the master of the ship, and to the owner of the ship than what Paul said. Like, Paul, I like you, but I'm not listening to you right now. I'm not going with what you have to say. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there. Now, here's a thought real quick. The majority tends to rule, right? Well, that can be a problem, especially when the man of God is saying, look, let's not do this. It's not a good idea. I perceive this as not a good idea. He's like, I'm going with the master of the ship and the owner of the ship. Sorry, man. And so they decided they're going to go out there to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. So, all right, they're thinking, we could probably just settle down and we can head out, even though Paul said don't do it. Look, there was expert advice. They didn't like the circumstances of staying in this harbor for winter. It was uncomfortable, and we understand discomfort. And so we try, like I was talking about earlier this week in our devotional, right? That we try to comfort ourselves. If we're being uncomfortable, then we'll try to comfort ourselves and we just pass on, right? We want to move on. Well, these guys are doing that. And to begin with, in verse 13, it says that the south wind blew gently. We're on our way. See, Paul, you're wrong. Except Paul wasn't wrong. Paul actually had heard from God. And so there's this big storm and a bunch of stuff happens. And you can go back and read that in Acts 27, 13 through 20, well, 13 through 19. I'm gonna pick it up in verse 20, because there was a massive storm. The nor'easter hit and they had to start throwing their cargo off the ship. And literally he went from being imprisoned to being on a ship and it was doing all right. And then it's not good at all. And they're starting to throw away the cargo and they're afraid that they're gonna die. And verse 20, we'll pick this up, Acts 27. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, it was dark all the time. Sound like Alaska or something, but. And no small tempest lay on us. And by the way, us and we, if you see in 27, there's we. Now, Paul, Aristarchus, I think is his name, and then Luke, the doctor, the one who wrote this book. They're together on the ship, along with, we find out later on, there's 273 other people on the ship. And since they've been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Can we just say it right now? It's that I told you so. You know, I mean, you think about that. He's like, look, I tried to tell you earlier. Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. God had told him this twice now. You're going to Rome. So Paul knows, I'm going to live. I'm going to make it. I'm supposed to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. You guys, can we stop for a second and just look at this? Paul could have easily just said, well, I'm going to be fine. And maybe even the people with me that are on my team, but all you guys are going to die. No, he actually must have been praying for them as well. God showed him that this was going to be all right. And he gave them all the people that were with him. God loves Paul. And God was showing his love for these people through Paul. So I want to read that one more time. I guess really what I'm getting at is, who are you praying for? What are you doing during this time of quarantine, during this time of being sequestered, this time of being put in a box? You can pray. You can pray for everybody. Pray for the president. Pray for people that you wouldn't normally pray for. Pray for people that you always pray for. Pray for yourself. All right, here we go. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, Paul said, for I have faith in God that it'll be exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island. I love it. He got a little bit of the 411 from God on this and from the angel. And again, there's some really cool stuff that happens. But really, a shipwreck happens. You want to talk about going from the frying pan into the flame. He's imprisoned. And then he gets on a ship and he tells them, hey, we shouldn't go any further. We should stay right here for the winter. No, they don't listen to him. There's this big, huge storm. And he tells them, look, it's going to be all right. You got to eat, though, and you got to take care of yourself, and you got to listen to me. We're going to be all right. My God said so. Now, I think some of you might be wondering right now, like, I'm God's person. Am I going to be all right through all of this? If you're God's person, you're going to be all right because you're held by him and nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Nobody. He loves you so much that even if we die, yet shall we live. Remember what Paul said in Philippians? For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He can learn all that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I just want to say to you, like, no matter what's happening, good, bad, ugly, Jesus loves you. If you're his people, all things are going to work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He won't waste a thing. All right, so we're going to jump into verse 31. Now, there was a whole lot that was going on right here. And there were the sailors that were pretending like they were dropping some anchors. And they were actually dropping down a boat. And they were going to take off. And they were going to leave everybody else to die. And Paul saw what was going on. And he said to I'll just read it to you. Verse 31. We're going to go Acts 27:31-37. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. He didn't say he wouldn't be saved. He's saying you guys won't be able to be saved because the sailors are going to need to be able to run this thing aground and all that. He's going to make it. Paul's going to make it. He already knows that. He's got to go to Caesar. But he's saying if you guys want to live, you better make sure that these sailors don't take off. And so the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and they let it go, let it go. You're welcome. That's just for everybody who's at home already falling asleep. Okay, come on back. As the day was about to dawn, now they're finally getting a little bit of light, by the way, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, today's the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken in nothing. Now, I was reading some stuff, and I tend to agree with this. I think that these guys, some of them, were really stressed out and weren't eating. Now, that makes sense. But I think some of them were fasting and hoping whatever God that they loved, whatever God that they followed, would listen to them if they fasted. Look, next week, for some of us who have been looking at Lent, is like the end of whatever fast that we had been going on. And for all of us, we're having a fast from the normalcy of life. And we're looking for, when is that going to end? You know what? Peace comes only from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, whether you're fasting or not, whether you have something in life that's changing significantly or not, only Jesus stays the same. So fix your eyes on him. You know what? I'm going to grab a little something to drink. Just a sec. It's water. Go ahead, take a second. Maybe get yourself something to drink. Okay, now I'm back. Now, as day was about to dawn, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Oh, it's like communion. I'm not saying that he was taking communion with them. But what he was doing is he was modeling for them. Look, I'm going to eat. And he broke it and he gave thanks to God and he gave food to all of them. And they were all encouraged, and they all ate some food themselves. And then Luke, who wrote this in verse 37, says, "We were in all 276 persons in the ship." Man, you guys, all of them were to be healed. All of them were to be, not healed, but all of them were to be saved. And so one of the things that comes to my mind when I think about this is that Paul was an example, and you and I are examples. What is it that we're being an example of? As I said before, God is with you even if it gets worse. So even if it's worse, a failure went to All right, anyways, even if it's worse, Jesus is with you. And he's in you for others when it's worse for them, and you get to be a comfort to them. And 2 Corinthians 1 talks about that, and I'll mention that again a little bit later on. But I need you to know that he says this, and then they got rid of all of the wheat. Like he says, eat, and we ate, and then all 276 people ate, and then they get rid of all the food because they're about to wreck the ship. All right, and so in verse 39, you'll see, and if you read through that to 41, you'll see that there was a shipwreck. And Paul, as a matter of fact, had three shipwrecks at some point in his life. So check this out. Verse 41. "Striking a reef or a sandbar, they ran the vessel aground." Remember earlier you said we're going to run aground on some island? Well, here comes that island. "And so the bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf." Okay. Gosh, this just seems so rough, right? They go from one bad thing to the next, and it's getting broken up, and they're like, "We're gonna die." And the soldiers had planned to kill the prisoners lest any should swim away and escape. If any of the prisoners had swam away and escaped, the soldiers would be killed. So the soldiers like, "You know what? I don't know how to remedy this. We'll just kill all those prisoners." But the centurion wished to save Paul, and he kept them from carrying out their plan. It wasn't that he cared about all the other prisoners. It was that he cared about Paul. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Wow. Oh, gosh. I mean, I think for me, I look at stuff like that in this story. It's like it goes from one bad thing to the next, but then there's this grace and there's this light in the midst of the darkness. There's this opportunity in the midst of all this pain, and they make it. And then maybe they're not gonna make it, but they do. I mean, it's like this suspenseful story. But Paul had faith because he had been told, "You're gonna go to see Caesar. You're going to be all right." And so here's where it all just kind of comes to this head. And it's a profound message on trusting God no matter what. Obedience to God, believing God, worshiping God, even if. So chapter 28, after we were brought safely through, like through the water, onto the beach, we learned that the island was called Malta. The native people, and that's kind of a word that we would just have all kinds of different triggers and buzzwords to. Native people in that Greek language would be barbaros or barbaros, where we get barbaric. And we constantly have made that a really bad thing. But really what that meant for the Greek were people that didn't speak Greek or Latin. And they didn't. And so were they civilized, uncivilized? That's for everybody else to debate about. But they're on this land called Malta. And the native people showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. They were freezing anyways. It just got out of the sea. And then it's cold and it begins to rain. And these people show them unusual kindness. They're not mad at them for landing there. I don't know if they were all sitting there watching the shipwreck anyways. That's what I keep thinking. I'm like, weren't these people watching them swim? I don't know if some people went out to help bring people in. I have no clue. But they did make them a fire and try to warm them up. And I think that's really, really wonderful. Now, Paul, who is now kind of the leader of this whole thing, right? He's shown that God is with him. Everybody's safe. He probably could have just sat back. I think some of us, we go through trauma and tragedy and all that, and we just need time to chill. And I think that's beautiful and wonderful. Paul didn't actually take time to chill. You know what Paul did? Well, let me read it to you. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire. He's like, thanks for the fire. Let me go get some firewood. And then a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. Are you kidding me? It's just, it doesn't get any worse for him, and then it does. And yet again, God shows his kindness. I'm kind of jumping to my conclusion, but come on back. Now, when the native people saw that the creature was hanging from his hand, they said to one another, watch this. No doubt this man's a murderer. Though he's escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire, which I'm just going to say, not a fan of snakes. Fire seemed like a really good place for him. And I'll say this from Revelation 12, we beat that snake, that serpent, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So quick little snapshot again, a little commercial for you. Please give a 15 to 30 second testimony of how you've seen God in this time. And so he shakes off this snake into the fire and suffered no harm. Now they were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. I just envision them seeing that happen, and they're eating, I don't know what, coconuts or whatever. And they're like, oh man, this guy's gonna blow up or he's gonna fall down dead. But when they saw, after waiting a long time, that no misfortune came to him, they changed their minds and said, he's a god. Now this reminded me very clearly of the kind of fickle mentality that we as people can have. And it also reminded me of Palm Sunday. You might remember the triumphal entry. Jesus comes in and there's this big, huge crowd and they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, right? And they're celebrating him. And then just a few days later, on Thursday and Friday, he's being tried, and then they're yelling, crucify him. Now, I know that not everybody in the crowd was in both of those crowds, but I do know that there had to be people who at one point were saying, this is the Messiah. And then when he got arrested, they're like, he's not a Messiah, he's fake. All these circumstances changed their minds, not who Jesus was, not all of the things that he did, not what he said, but they had their minds changed because of groupthink, because of popular opinion, or because they were disappointed. And I get that, but your disappointment ought to lead you to Jesus, not away from him. And so that reminded me of all that. And so I wanna be able to finish with this, and it's not something that too many people would slow down and take time to think about, but I wanna ask you to slow down and take time to think about it. Let me finish this up in the passage. So they thought he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed We know that they were there for 3 months. And Paul starts out going from there saying he's cursed to he's a god to watching him heal and people coming to him, and they treated him super well. And so I want to ask you to remember something here near the end of the message. Remember, God is with you, even if it gets worse. God's with you no matter what. And God is in you for when it gets worse for others. I said I want to tell you about 2 Corinthians 1. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit out of 2 Corinthians 1. And it's one of my favorite passages, especially when I'm going through hard times and when other people are going through hard times. I like to remind people that God is the God of comfort. And I get that from his word. This is 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. You and I are comforted in our trials, and we will be comforted as his people. And then we can comfort others with the comfort we've received. Love that. I want to encourage you with that. And since we're in 2 Corinthians, I wanted to kind of give you this mentality of what it would have been like for Paul. I'll have you go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. And then I just want to kind of summarize really a conclusion, if you will, of all of what he had gone through. And I wrote it down because a lot of times if I rely on my slippery mind, it might fall apart. John 16:33, we hear from Jesus that in this world you'll have trouble and trials, but take heart, I've overcome this world. Throughout Acts 27, Paul was continually encouraged by God, even when difficulties persisted. The centurion didn't listen to him, Paul kept praying. All hope was lost, God sent Paul an angel, confirming Paul's prayer for everyone, by the way. He was praying for everybody, not just himself. The soldiers were gonna kill everybody because the shipwreck was happening, but the centurion wanted to save Paul, so he wouldn't let him. They all made it safe to shore in a foreign place. It was cold and rainy, and the locals made a fire for him. So he goes out and collects firewood. A snake fastens to his hand. He shakes off the snake and doesn't even skip a beat. Philippians 4, Paul writes how he says, I've learned the secret to contentment. Whether I'm high or whether I'm low, whether everything's going my way or not at all. And he gives this big long list in 2 Corinthians of all the bad things that happened to him. He says, I've learned it. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's Jesus giving us strength, our hope. And so in 2 Corinthians 11, like I said, 25-30 gives this long list of things. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, I'll bring us to an end here. He had something that a messenger of Satan, he says, that had been harassing him. And it was keeping him from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Lord Jesus, let that be true about us. Let us brag about our strength through weakness, like Paul. I love you, Lord. I pray this for my dear friends. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, don't go away. Got a couple more thoughts for you. In the midst of your chaos, right in the middle of your chaos, look for God's presence. He's right there with you, just like we heard all the way through Paul's story, just like our story. And also, look for God's opportunities for you with others in the middle of this chaos. Look for the opportunities to trust God and to follow him and to help others. Now, there's this thing that's floating around that's falsely apparently attributed to C.S. Lewis from 1942. It wasn't found in any of his books. But I thought it was kind of a really profound little dialogue. And it was between, basically, Satan and Jesus. And so it goes like this. Satan says, "I'll cause anxiety, fear, and panic. I'll shut down businesses, schools, places of worship, and even sporting events. I will cause economic turmoil. Many will die." Jesus says, "I'll bring together neighbors, restore the family unit. I'll bring dinner back to the kitchen table. I'll help people slow down their lives and appreciate what really matters. I'll teach my children to rely on me and not the world. I'll teach my children to trust me and not their money and material resources. I will give people life beyond this place." Will you trust Jesus? Will you love him? Will you follow him? Will you make him known? Look, no matter what happens, Jesus is still on the throne. Do you want him? Even if it can get worse, and it probably will, God's got it under control. He loves you. God bless you, church. I can't wait to see you again. I look forward to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ with you. May you love him. May you follow him. May you trust him. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.